Well, a very warm welcome. I trust that you are well and that you're up for a challenge and a blessing. You know, when we look at God's word, when we understand what it is he's saying to us and what he can say through us. Is that coming along here? No. Just one moment. I'll do what I normally do before ringing Nigel. I'll turn it off and turn it on again. We'll see. Anyway, I don't tend to make many notes, but early hours of this morning, about 1:30 this morning, I actually got up and wrote down today's title. And it's this. Oh no. Miracles do happen. It's the devil sifts and God prunes. That's the difference between sifting and pruning at times. And I was looking at this whole subject from John 15, starting at verse 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. And that's what I want to talk about today. But I have written one or two things down, and I want to almost bring the end at the beginning and say, did you know that God disciplines the ones that he loves? Have you ever got to that position where you go, Lord, I've had enough love, I don't need any more? And if we understand the difference between being sifted and being pruned, we'll understand why God does the things he does. And also, we'll understand why at times we get so offended simply by Scripture. Because God's doing a work within us. And if you are being or have been pruned, it's a good thing. That's one of the things I want to bring out in the message that I ministered today. And, you know, it's also good when you hear people speak and share. You know, Emma's saying it's good that you can come as you are, and the truth is it is good that you can come as you are, but God changes us so that we don't stay as we are. And I know she was talking about something completely different to what I am. But God wants to change us, to challenge us, to encourage us. Why? I'm glad you asked, so that we grow. And David, it's good to share at times, because so often people don't know our heart until it's revealed. And when we take the opportunity to see what God sees, we truly are blessed. One, I'll put down, are you connected to Christ? Is Jesus Christ your Saviour and your Lord? If the answer is yes, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Two, you will be pruned, but you will be more fruitful. We can, we all can cut back and prune certain things out of our own lives. There's things that we look at and we say, I don't need to look at that anymore. I don't need to digest that anymore. I don't need to walk in those areas anymore. And there's some pruning we can do naturally, isn't there? When we look around at this time of year and we look at the things that are budding and they're flowering, so often it's a result of the pruning in the winter months. It's the things that we tend to do. And there's certain sins in our own life, we don't like that word at times in church. I've noticed when I listen to other ministers and I look at certain commentaries, we don't tend to like the word sin within church life. But sin means we miss the mark. Is anyone here perfect? Well, you're all sinners. Me too. We all have something in common, don't we? It's a sinner that needs a saviour. The Bible says it's the sick that needs a doctor. That's so true. And when we grasp what God has done for us, we can understand that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that the very thing, yes, that he started, he will bring through to completion. But there is a work in progress, and God wants to do a work in us and through us. And because he loves us, he wants to discipline us. He wants to encourage us. So there are things we could do in response. We could say, like David did in the Psalms, we read, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. So we too can understand what God is saying. So I want to get to that verse in a moment, but I just want to read God's word. See, in John 15, you'll understand what the pruning is, but I just want to read this because I read it last week and I want to read it this week. Just See if you can hear or see anything different. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you into wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the water by water. By those waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by the same word. The present heavens and earth is reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment. And so it goes on. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 it says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness.'" That was something that was read last week. God's word is living and active. Would you agree? You know, there are times where we come into church life, and at some point it was introduced to all of us. There were times where we wasn't church dwellers. Now we are. There was times we wouldn't have called ourselves children of God or Christians, but now we do. And there was a transformation. There was something that happened in our lives to cause us to think differently. And I want to suggest that that something was God's word. Because there would have been a time that you and I heard God's word. We read his word. We listened to his word. We digested his word, and it did a work within us. And that work within us is called conviction. It convinces us of our need for him. And if the Bible says that if you say you're not a sinner, then you're a liar. So there are times that this word that we talk about is going to be very, very challenging. And depending on who is articulating that word, who is speaking that word, one person can say it in a way and we go, "Yeah, I agree with that." And another person can say exactly the same thing and we get offended. So the way we say something is important as well, but not as important as the word, because the word will do its work. I know over the years there's been people who have come into this church, the Lord's church, he's building it, and they've gone, "I'm home. This is where God wants me to be." And it's not because this is good or that is good, or this is bad or that is bad, or it's a lot better than the one I went to last week. It's because God has said something to you. He's spoken his word. He's breathed into you, and you're saying, "Lord, I want to be planted." So when we start thinking about the vine, we think about a planting. A plant that we plant has to be rooted, yes? It has to be rooted in order for the plant to sustain the branches. Is that true? So that the branches can sustain the fruit. And that's what we want to talk about today. So it says in 15 verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." When we look at this, we say, we can see I've highlighted here true. So that means there's a false vine. Well, when we look through scripture, the Old Testament, in Isaiah 5, I think it is, it talks about Israel being like a vine that God wants to tend, and it wants it to be fruitful. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see that God's chosen people, who are still special to him, by the way, his chosen people failed. And they failed spectacularly. And Jesus says, "I am the true vine." If you look through scripture, you'll see that he was in the upper room, that he was talking and speaking to his disciples. You'll understand there was one who was going to betray him, it's Judas. You'll understand that he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was praying in such agony that the Bible says that he sweated drops of blood. There's a backdrop to everything that Jesus does and everything that he says. And there's power in his words, and there's also power in our words. And how many of you can say that you've been through painful experiences in your life? Well, look at those experiences. Let me ask you this question. Were you being sifted or were you being proved? There's a difference. You see, when you think about sifting something, it's quite violent, isn't it? You're shaking it all over the place. And there's an outward experience to that sifting. It will break down all the hard lumps and the small particles will come through. But when Satan sifts us, the same violence can happen around us. And we can easily mistake the sifting for the pruning. Because we can lose a loved one and the enemy comes on the back of that loss and say, there you go, I thought God loved you. And he can start to sift you, and that violence can cause you to fall off the foundation in that sense. Or you can turn to God and say, Lord, your word is true. You'll never leave me or forsake me. Lord, your word is true. You will comfort me. Yes, there may be some pruning going on in our lives. But we need to identify, I believe, as people and as a church, what's sifting and what's pruning. And on a personal note, many, many, many years ago, it was prophesied this lovely word over my life. And it was, the devil wants to sift you. But God says his grace is sufficient. So there's good news, isn't there? So we need to understand, I believe, the difference between the sifting and the pruning. And we can look at our personal lives, we can look at our corporate lives, we can look at the church life. We need to work out, what's pruning, Lord? What have you cut away in order that we can bear more fruit? And what's the enemy coming to try and destroy and move things around and cause turmoil? And if we can seek God's wisdom and his discernment on knowing which is which, I think we'll live a more fruitful life. So there is a true vine and there is a false vine. And if you look through scripture, you'll see that we've been grafted in. In the beginning, it was that God would have this nation of Israel that would be fruitful, that would understand the coming of the Messiah, and yet they failed on many terms. But God, through Jesus, didn't let us go. He wanted to build something new, and that's why we have the new covenant. We don't live by law, but we live by grace. But there will be a pruning in our lives as well. It says in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, think about this. He's not talking about the world here, is he? Because he says, every branch in me. So we need to be in Christ. So he's talking to the church here. He's talking to his disciples there. He's talking to us now. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. It's easy to look around us and say, oh, God's disciplining them or God's pruning them. But he's talking to us. So this is for us. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So if the answer to that question was, have you been pruned, was yes, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because when the gardener, the vine dresser, which is God, brings out his knife or his pruning shears and he starts to cut pieces out of our lives, it's for a purpose. It's to enable us, you and me, to bear more fruit. So just think about it. I tend to rush on at times, and I have so much scripture I want to share that I can so easily bring 15 points and I can miss out some of the truth of what is being said. So I want to give you the opportunity just to think about times in your life where you've felt bruised. You've felt that something has been cut out of your life. Just think about it. Is there a relationship that suddenly ended? Well, maybe God was pruning so that you could be more fruitful. Maybe there's a circumstance, a situation that suddenly it's gone. It's not there anymore. And you're saying, God, why have you taken this from me? Well, maybe It was God pruning that part of your life so you can be more fruitful. Why, Father God, have you given me this individual at work that constantly rubs me up the wrong way? Well, maybe it's so that you can be more fruitful. And there'll be a time where God will prune you in that area. Maybe there's a time where there's been something catastrophic happen, and it's the enemy coming along trying to knock you off the foundation. There's many people over the years that I have met and been in relationship, and it's true to say that have come to church and professed Jesus as Saviour and Lord. That they've sung the songs, that they've danced the dance, they've raised the hands, they've paid into the contribution of the church. And then when the enemy has come along, they've walked away. So often, when God has pruned them, they've seen the enemy has come along and they've walked away. So either way, the enemy has had his way with them, because they've taken a lie and they've betrayed it for the truth. But for you and I, as we come together in church and we grow, being connected and rooted to the vine, there will be times that we are pruned. And if we recognize that that's a time in our life that God is cutting something off, realizing that it's so that we can be more fruitful in the future. It says, you are already clean because of the word. Now, it's the pruning. It's what it is when you clean up a plant. You prune it. And it says here, because of the word. So how are we pruned? It tells us the word. I have spoken to you. God's written word. God's rhema word. That's what does the pruning. You know, there's times where we'll switch something on and we know we shouldn't be watching it. Ooh, how do we know? Because God's word. He's pruning us. There'll be times where you'll see an individual and they're doing something and God says, you can't do that, but they can. Well, that's not fair. Well, God's pruning you in that area. Maybe they've already been pruned. Maybe they've already got the ability to discern and understand and eat of the richness that God has for them, but you haven't. And sometimes in church life, we can look at someone else's experience and say, God, that's not fair. Or is that just me? That's not fair. How come he can do that and she can do that, but you're telling me I can't, because this is your time to be pruned? So if you're going through tough times, if it's God's pruning, it's a good thing. Because he's going to give you the opportunity to bear more fruit. He's going to clean you because of his word. He's going to purify us because of his word. You know, what it is for a Christian is to be more Christ-like. That's what God wants. He wants to create in us that clean heart and renew that right spirit. He wants us to walk the walk that we talk. You know, it's easy to pick up a Bible, isn't it, and just quote God's words. But at the overflow, we heard it, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there's times there's something in the overflow of the heart that we didn't realize was overflowing until we brought it out. And God wants to cut it off. And sometimes we have to bring it out so that God can prune it. Sometimes we have to walk that walk so God can prune it. Because did you know that there's times that we have dreams of doing something, but it's not in God's plan? And there's times where we go, but I want to do that. And there's times that God allows us to, and then he cuts it out of our lives. And we can look back and say, why did you allow me to suffer that way, only to take it from me? So that you could bear more fruit. Because I've had individuals come to me, and one of the good things and one of the bad things you can say is God said. So just imagine it, right? You have a desire, you have a dream, you have an aspiration, and you come to me, and not that I'm anything, it's just that I'm a sounding board that God has called at times, and you say, Pastor, God has said that I'm to leave this church and go to Mongolia. What do you think? What would my answer be? God said it, you best do it. Why ask me? You see, there's times where God prunes us because we do what we think God's calling us to do. When you look at the, I'm going to digress, but hopefully it'll make sense. When you look at the Apostle Paul, used to be called Saul, didn't he? And when he did what he did, in the way that he did it, he thought he was pleasing God. He did. He would persecute the way, that's you. He would come along and he would persecute you. Not only would he persecute you, he'd get letters of authority to make sure it was legal. Not only that, he would hold the clothes of those that was throwing the stone at you. He was so zealous for the law, yet he thought he was doing what was right. And God allowed him to go through that, and then he had that experience with the Lord. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And then he said to Paul, you will know what it is to suffer for my sake. There was a pruning that had to go on in his life, but he needed to know he was walking the wrong way in order to allow God's pruning knife to come and clean him. And that's the word of God. So if you choose to read God's word, you choose to stand or sit under God's word when you come to church on a Sunday, or you read through the week, it will be challenging. But it will be a word that will cause you to be more fruitful. So that's the good part of this news. The pruning. But the wisdom that we need is to know whether we are being shaken, sifted, or pruned. So whatever you're going through at this moment in your life, just reflect on it. Is it the enemy lying to me? Or is it God pruning me? Because you know what? There's times where it looks from the outside that bad things are happening to good people. But God's pruning us. He's strengthening us. You know, there's something in our past where God spoke directly into our hearts. And we wonder, what was all that about? And then some point in our future, there's a catastrophe. Okay, Lord, you brought me through that. You can bring me through this. You know, as David shared today, he said, I was preparing myself to go home to glory. But here's the good news. At least he knew he was going home to glory. Amen. And how did he know that? Because of the pruning in his life, the word of God, to cut off the old and allow the new to grow. So wherever you are, whatever stage you are in your Christian walk, you know, there may even be people in the room, and I don't know your circumstances, only God does, that you go, well, I'm not really sure if I actually do believe this gospel. Well, why are you here? Because God's word is drawing you. God's word is pruning you. God's word is life. And that's what the Bible encourages us with. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I just want to pause there. I have spoken to you. There are times where we can say something and it doesn't prune. It doesn't prune. It sifts. So we need to know that it's God's word. What does God say about this? We all have an opinion. It's true, isn't it? We do. I have an opinion. If someone asks me a question and they say, what do you think? Boy, be prepared for the answer. Because I think this. And it may not be in line with what you think. But you know what? There's times where it doesn't matter what I think. What does God say about it? When we look in the world, and you know me, I don't like to get political, but you can't really separate it. But there's questions being asked about all sorts of things, aren't there? What about this and what about that? Well, all I need to know is, what does God say about this? In the beginning was. He created them. He said, go forth and multiply. He said, every child that is born is a blessing. Parents say, you've ruined my life. God says, you are life. The world says, there's confusion. God says, there's no confusion. There's clarity. So it's his word that's important. So try and filter out what people say. What man say. What woman says. What does God say about this? And if we go to God's word, he'll answer it. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. In the beginning was the word. The word became flesh. The flesh became spirit and dwelt amongst us. God's word will do the work if we choose to listen to it, to read it, to digest it. Many years ago, my brother-in-law, who I love to pieces, he was my surrogate father. My dad died when I was 11, and my brother-in-law died when he was 50. And a week before he died, I was in his home, and he'd got septicemia. He'd had an accident, and he'd developed septicemia, and we didn't know that at the time, but his ankle was starting to swell and turn blue, and he was talking about all kind of isms, and he was talking about, going down here to speak to so-and-so and such about all kinds of words and wonderful things. And something rose up out of me. I was a young Christian, but I loved this man. And I just said, Brian, will you do something for me? He said, yeah, name it. I said, if you're ever in trouble, if it's life-threatening, call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says, it's the sick that need a doctor. It's the sinner that need a saviour. Will you do that? Yes. Within a few days, that man was dead. Now, I'd like to think that the word of God started to prune his life and cut away all the junk that he'd learned throughout his entire life. Cut away all the isms that are out there that will lie, that say, if you pay more money into the church, you'll receive your healing. If you do more of your doing, you'll be more respected by God. The truth is this, you cannot buy it. You receive it. Is that true? That's God's word. Once you receive it, you want to do. You receive by faith, by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And once you've received it, you want to give back. We know that. But if you give in order to get, that's not, it's upside down. And God wants to prune that out of your life and say, no, you just receive it because I love you enough just as you are. But I want to change you into who I want you to be. So, you remain in me and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is quite obvious, isn't it? But we need to say it sometimes, because as Christians, we can walk away from God's presence. We can walk out of his will and then blame him for the very mistakes that we make because we're out of will. True, isn't it? I told you that God's word will prune us. You know, I've been in situations where I know in my heart that I shouldn't do that, and I do it anyway. And then I complain to God because of the repercussions. And the truth is, it was a sifting and not a pruning. See, the old enemy was coming. He knows who I am. He knows my weaknesses. He knows I don't drink alcohol because I don't like it. But let's say I did. Let's say I liked one or two whiskies. Vodkas. What's the devil going to do when I'm in a bad place? He's going to place me in the bar. Not only is he going to place me in the bar, he's going to place me in the bar with one of my old friends who's got more money than me, and he's happy to buy me drinks. Now I could say, what a blessing! Or is it a shaking? Is it a sifting? Is it a sifting? Is it going to cause violence? See, for me, if I look at God's word, it says in that situation for me, a little wine for the stomach is good. Don't get drunk. It prunes me. And then I decide to walk out. Does that make sense? So this message is a message that hopefully will encourage us to remain in the vine so that we can allow God to prune us. See God's pruning as a blessing because we're going to bear more fruit. Whether it's whatever that fruit is, he knows. Whether it's wisdom, whether it's discernment, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whatever it is, if we stay connected to the vine, which is Christ, he tells us there, I am the true vine. We are the branches. It's the branches that get pruned. It's not the vine itself, is it? You don't cut the vine down at the floor. You prune the branches. I watched a video. I was going to show it today, but for time, I watched a video on pruning in a vineyard. My goodness, it's ruthless. Just looks like a stick with two arms. And yet, that season, the shoots start to come out and they're pliable and they can be guided. And they start to bear more fruit. And that's a picture of me and you, where God takes out his knife and he cuts off the branches that are decaying. Got a plant at home, it's a rose plant, and one part's green, then it goes brown. The brown bit is dead. So what will I do? Cut it off. It's the same in our lives. There's parts of our lives that are dead. They're dead to God. They might look as if they're alive to the world, but they're dead to God. And they're dead to God because we haven't yielded them over to Him. There's an area where some Christians, and I'm not saying anyone here will do this, but some Christians, they'll say, you can have this, Lord, but you can't touch that. You can have this, but you can't touch that relationship. You can have this, but I'm keeping my money. You can have this, but I'm choosing what I do with it. You know, when we take something and we render it to God, we are making it useless to us. So whether it's our service, it's the word I was looking for, our service. So we come before God and we say, Lord, here I am, use me. But I don't want to do coffee. Here I am, Lord, use me, I'll do anything, but don't send me out into children's church. Here I am, Lord, I'll do anything, but please don't let Andrew ask me to share anything from the front. Here I am, Lord, I'll do anything, but I can't lift chairs. Here I am, Lord, I will do anything, but I don't want to evangelize. Here's the thing. You know, if we just simply say, here I am, Lord, use me, then He will. But when we say, I'll do anything, it's the same as saying, God said. Because when you say, I'll do anything, He says, right, I'll test you in this area. Mike, you won't mind me sharing, it's too late anyway if you do. He rung me up the other day. He said, oh, I don't know if I, you know, when I shared the other day, I was feeling all. And I said, was it God's word? He said, yes. I said, did I ask you to share it? Yes. Was you willing and able and obedient to just follow the lead? Yes. Well, that's fruitful then. You know, and sometimes we miss the other ministries, the other fivefold. We miss them because we become familiar with someone like me, familiar with the way I speak or articulate. And then when someone new comes along, part of our brain switches off because we're not used to it. But if it's God's word, it's truth, it's foundational, and it will prune. It will prune. So let's stay connected to the vine. Because the truth is, unless we do, we won't bear fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's a promise there. You will bear much fruit. There's a promise for God. When He prunes us, He doesn't leave us to decay. He continues to allow that nourishment to come up from the roots. The Holy Spirit will speak to us and use us, and we will be more fruitful. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, we're not talking here about salvation. We're talking about God's people. Because if He's called us, we're called. If He's saved us, we're saved. If we're redeemed, we're redeemed. But there is a portion of scripture that puts it like this. It says, there will be hay, straw and stubble. There'll be gold, silver and precious stones. And when the fire of God comes upon it, and the Bible talks about fire, Christ is coming back like a consuming fire. There will be a fire on the day of judgment for the sinner and not the Saviour. But us as Christians will also go through that refinement, and the goodness of our lives will remain. But the chaff will be burnt up. The straw, the stubble and the hay, that represents dead works. Branches that are being cut off and they'll be consumed. But the fruit will remain. And when we look through God's scripture and we look at fruitfulness, so often we can hear it preached that you must go out and preach the gospel to other people and every soul that is won is fruit. Well, yeah, that's true. But also every smile that you smile, every opportunity to forgive is fruit. Every opportunity to serve is fruit. Every opportunity to allow God to change you is fruit. Love is patient, love is kind. The fruit of the Spirit, where you read through those attributes, that's fruit. So God wants you and I to remain in Him so that we can share in His goodness and draw from His sap. This is my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how do we show the Lord that we're His disciples? By being fruitful. How do we become fruitful? Allowing God to prune us. Allowing God to change us. Allowing God to challenge us so that we can be a witness to others. And sometimes we will speak and we will speak words of wisdom. Sometimes we will do. And sometimes the two will come together. But the more Christ-like you are, the more fruitful you will be. Me too. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So staying in Christ is to remain in his love. God so loved you that he gave. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. So if we want to remain connected to God, then we need to keep his commandments. There's things that God says, don't do that. But you can do this. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. See, the Bible says that you and I in Christ, we are born of his Spirit. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have told you this so that my joy might be complete and that your joy might be complete. Sorry, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. 13. Greater love has no one than this. They lay down one's life for their own friends or one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. It goes on in 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit. So why are you doing the very things you're doing? So that you can be fruitful. That's one of the plans and purposes in our lives. That we can be fruitful. In order to be fruitful, we need to be pruned. In order to be pruned, there's parts of our lives that will be cut off. This relationship. So I was speaking to someone a while ago and he brought a word in season to me. He said, Andrew, did you know this? He said, there are people in our lives and then they're gone. And it hurts. But they were there for a season. And then God cut them off. It's true, isn't it? Have you ever sowed? Let me just go over a few moments. Have you ever sowed into someone's life, given of your heart, given of your finances, given of your home, only for it to be thrown back at you? Pruning. So you can be more fruitful. But there's a time where God cuts them out of your life. And yes, we rejoice, I'm sure. But it's so that we can bear more fruit. But we need to ask the Lord, is this you? I'm not going to finish this. I'll do it another time. Is this you or is this the enemy? Am I being shaken? Am I being sifted or am I being pruned? Only you will know that by asking the question. And if you're being shaken, call on his word. Say, Lord, Christ in me. I'm going to call our worship team up. We'll finish here. Lord, you've promised that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Yes? Lord, your word is powerful, alive and active. Lord, no weapon forced against me will prosper. Lord, you've promised me goodness. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. So when the devil comes, what do? We resist him. How do we resist him? By God's word. It is written. Father, I thank you for your goodness in my life. Father, I thank you for your pruning in my life. Lord, give me the wisdom and the discernment to know the difference between being sifted, where I need to resist, and being pruned, where I need to embrace. I ask this in your name. Amen.